All right, I want you to go to the book of Acts with me this morning. Book of Acts. I'm going to do something here. All right. We're going to continue a thought this morning that we started a couple weeks ago. And we had started to talk about from the book of Numbers, chapter 1, about the congregation of Israel that had been around the tabernacle. Let me stop if I forgot to do something. Is there anybody? I don't know if we hope we've got some Bibles in the back. Is anybody here without a Bible and you'd like a Bible? We've got one fellow over here. Keith, can you help me with that, brother? Thank you, sir. And another lady in the back there, Keith, on the aisle. And raise your hand high again so my brother can... You got enough? Got him downstairs. Okay, we just keep... recognize who needed a Bible. We apologize for that. Don't steal my Bible, but any other Bible in this place, if you want to steal it, that's okay. All right. As long as you read it, that's all we ask you to do, is just read it. All right. Let me just stop. I've often said this, and I want to say it again. Deb and I came here, we were 25 years old, and we're 63 now. Time has gotten away from us. And I made three great decisions. I can tell you for sure, out of all those years of living, I made three very good decisions. Very good decisions. I don't know about any other decision I ever made, but I know there were three that were the best decisions I ever made. Number one was I married Deborah K. Broombaugh. And she became my wife a long time ago, and she's taught me how to be a good husband, all right, along with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a good decision. Now, we were married before we got saved, but then we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, if I could just put him back into number one, that was the best decision I ever made, okay? That was the best decision I ever made. And then I got married, all right, and that was another great decision. But I want to say this to you this morning, because I've been here long enough to be able to say it. Coming to Staten Island was the third best decision I ever made in my life. I've learned to love Jesus Christ here. And I've learned to love God's people here. And I've learned to love the lost here. All right. What happened during that singing right there? You don't know what that did for my heart. All right. I pray that just our people would just get a hold of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just get a hold of Him. Just stop and realize how good He has been to you. All right. Now, go to the book of... I've got you in the book of Acts. And I want you to go to... If I can find my way around here this morning. You stay with me. I want you to go to Acts chapter 24. But anyhow, that... The children of Israel were around the tabernacle. There were 12 tribes, we know that. There were four sides, three tribes on each side. But we learn from Numbers chapter 1 and verse 52 that when they began to move, it says, every man by his own standard. They had this standard, Bible also calls it an ensign, Another one verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30 and verse 17, calls it a beacon. But it was the thing that identified them. And we started to take that thought and just started to go through the book of Acts from the very first place where the Church of Antioch, where the disciples were first called Christians. Now, probably that was a name in mockery, truth be told. Little Christs. I thought, as I was thinking about Manny, do you remember the Nike commercial? I think it was with Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. Well, I'm going to tell you something today, guys. I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Manny. If I'm going to be like any human being, I want to be like Manny. But there's a hymn that we don't sing a lot around here. It's got great words to it. Oh, to be like him, meaning Jesus Christ. You see, we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You're not being conformed to the image of Paul or Peter or Mary. Sounds like a rock group, Peter, Paul, and Mary. There was a rock group, Peter, Paul, and Mary. You're not being conformed to Mike Veach, Pat Dean, or plug in the rest of our elders. You're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And I've come to one grand realization of what this is all about. I know some of you still are hung up in, oh, we got to do. We got to get it done. We got to go. We got to. We got to. We got to. We got to. No, you ain't got to do nothing. You know what you got to do? Submit to Jesus Christ. And I need to... And I need to be willingly. Because you're going to get conformed one way or another. You either conform easily. And I'm convinced about some things. Probably an old rock group again. I got some of those things stuck in my brain. There was a line in the song, "Only the good die young." I don't want to know that. Only the good die young. Do you want to know something? Stay with me now. Stay with me. Do you know I think sometimes Jesus Christ gets so homesick for some of us that He wants us home? Don't you like it when your family's home? Yeah. We've had people die in this place as teenagers. We've had them die. We had a school teacher named Sue Ellen Winterstein. Probably early 30s. Driving up home to Rochester, New York. Fell asleep behind the wheel. Crashed her car. Lord took her home. You know what? I knew that woman. She wasn't married, never had any children. She used to go over to some of our older saints, and you know what she would do? She'd wash their feet, didn't she, Margaret? She'd wash their feet. I'm talking literally. She would go over to, how many of you remember Isa Jansen? See that piano? It's got her name, got the Jansen name on the side of it. Wife of a missionary, went home to be with the Lord. But she'd go over there and rub her legs. She wasn't interested really in getting married. You know, truth be told, I don't want to say this, you please don't take this wrongly. She wasn't a beautiful looking woman. She was just plain. But you want to know something? She had a beauty that went weak. It went down inside her bones. You know what we need here? That's what we need. We don't need more of my personality. You don't. I'm trying to work me out of my personality. God's been trying to do that for a long time. We need tenderness here. We need people who just love Jesus Christ so much that one day God would say, "You're finished. Come on home. I've missed you so long." That's what we need. We need to start. I said it to my wife. We've sat around here. We've used this illustration. I got to start seeing with the eyes of God. God looks down and sees this tapestry because He's the one that's making it. And it's beautiful. But we're standing down here looking up and we see all the strings hanging down. And it's not pretty. I need to see the tapestry from the eyes of God. All right? I've got you in Acts. I don't know where I'm going this morning, by the way. Have you figured that out yet?
Amen.
Okay. Spirit of God got a hold of my heart about 18 different times this morning. And I could just say amen. We'd go home. After that song by those three young people. See, this is where we live, folks. This is where we live. This is who we minister to. This is who we pray over. This is who we counsel. This is who we cry for and cry with.
Amen.
And when I'm not embarrassing anybody, but when that happens, you say, "Well, it's just a song." Yeah, but you want to know something? You know where I'm at in this whole thing? When I see one little glimmer of light in somebody's life, man, I just want to run to it. I want to tell them, please, don't put the basket over your light.
That's good, amen.
Take the basket off. Let your light so shine.
Amen.
Be that light along the shore. Because the lost sailors in their ships are coming into port. And the lighthouse, just in Himself, has given us the privilege to light the shore because it's the night and they can't see. They can't see. That's why He left us here. The world out there, do you know what they believe we're doing this morning? Do you know what Roman Catholicism believes we're doing? They believe this is a cult. They believe this is heresy. Acts chapter 24, yes. Young people, I want to just say one more thing to you. You want to encourage me? I'm a nobody. I'm just an average guy with an average plan with a big God. But you want to encourage me? Let me tell you what encourages me is when you start to live for Jesus Christ. That's what encourages me. You want to keep me going? Truth be told, you want to keep me going? Just take a stand for Jesus Christ. I want to be able to look down the rank. I want to be able, as I sit on my horse, my war horse, and in this place, I'm on my mount, my war horse, and I'm right next to Mike Veach. And he's got that big war horse. And I make sure I've got my war horse just a little bit behind. The nose of my pony is just a little bit behind. Because I know my rank in this thing. But when I look to my left, and I look to my right, and I want to know, who am I going into battle with? I want to find you. I want to know we can keep rank in this place. That great warrior David, he said God's gentleness had made him great. But you want to encourage somebody in here? You just want to encourage mom and dad? Truth be told, listen, if you got the brains to be a doctor, be a doctor. If you got the brains to be a lawyer, be a lawyer. If you got the brains to be something like that, be something like that. But you want to know something? If you just want to work in a factory, as far as I'm concerned, I never, my boys, it's like, listen, you want to just, I don't care what they do for a living. Don't steal and love God. Just love God. Because in the final analysis, all of a sudden the years will creep by and you'll be 63 and I'm just a baby considering some of you. But you'll be able to look back and you want to know something? Every time I got concerned, well, I don't have enough of this and I don't have enough of that and I don't have a name yet and I haven't made my first million and nobody knows me and all of a sudden you end up being 63 years old and you want to know something? It doesn't matter anymore. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. Acts chapter, I know I told you to go there 6 times already. Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. Those children of Israel had an identity. They raised their standard. Okay? It was a flag. It must have been something that just identified them. Their ensign, their beacon. And every one of those tribes and every one of those families seemed to have them. And God looked down and He identified them. And we started to talk about, can this church be identified? We're not talking about 6200 Amboy Road. We're not talking about the building. The building that looks like a warehouse because it is. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, can somebody get into port because my light and your light along the shore is bright enough to take somebody to the lighthouse, Jesus Christ? Amen. I'm not talking, listen to me, passing out tracts and doing everything that we do, all good, all necessary, it's good. But I'm talking about your life. Your life. Jesus Christ said we are salt and light. Salt not only hinders things, but salt preserves. Can my life preserve somebody else's? Can my life, the light of Jesus Christ, enough point somebody to the lighthouse, Jesus Christ? Because the world says that this is a cult. Look at verse 14. The Jews believed that Paul had joined a cult. That he had lost his mind. Well, truth be told, I did lose my mind. I got a new mind 43 years ago. Listen to Stuart said something this morning. He works with a man who likes the devil. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, we all liked the devil before we were saved. Now, I know some of you were just pure white Sunday school, but don't kid yourself. You still like the devil. Okay? We got to understand that. Here's what we have to understand. Isaiah, the latter portion of Isaiah, says, there's one verse says, Listen to me, because some of you have heard this for 38 years and you're still not saved. And I heard it for 17 years. So I can empathize with you a little bit. But some of you think you're good enough in your own righteousness to go to heaven. And yet Isaiah wrote, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, let me just, I don't want to be lewd. I don't want to be crude. I don't want to be rude or any other word that rhymes with that. But as you look into the Word of God, there were two types of filthy rags. One was the rags that they wrapped around the lepers. The other one was the rag that a woman used for her monthly period. That's the God's truth. And do you realize what? Listen to me! Jesus Christ said, your righteousnesses are just like those filthy rags. My righteousnesses. You think that your personal goodness does anything to merit the favor of God? Why would Jesus Christ die then? If I can work my way to heaven. Why? Go to John. I told you, I don't know where I'm going. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. You see, you got to love Pastor Mike because Pastor Mike knows exactly where he's going all the time. And you believe that, I'll tell you another lie. But this has just been one of those mornings. And I've got my watch up here. It means it's 20 to 12. I know you. Don't be cockeyed now. Don't be cockeyed. Some people came to Jesus Christ and they wanted to work the works of God. They wanted to attain unto God in something they could do. Something they could be. Some work, some form of righteousness. And in John chapter 6, this great discourse on the bread, he says in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They wanted something to do. And if you've been here any length of time and you're still not saved, you must just think that you can do something that would merit God's favor. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? We want to be able to attain unto the righteousness of Almighty God. Look at 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you want something to do? Look what he gave them to do. This is the work of God, comma, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Amen. That's the only way you and I are going to attain the righteousness of God. Now, just so we're all on the same page, 99% of the churches on this island don't believe that. They don't believe that. Thusly, they don't teach that. Thusly, they're going to teach works. They're going to teach righteousness. And thusly, when we take a stand, not only on the Word of God, but on what the Word of God actually says, you become the heretic. And you become the apostate. And you become the cult. Now, we know that, but we got some new believers in here. And you've already encountered this. Some of us are just so thick-skinned now, we don't really care. We laugh at it, but some of you are just newly saved, and you're encountering now, let's go back to Acts, you're encountering what Paul encountered in Acts chapter 24. Let me give you five things. I'm going to read verse 14. But let me give you five things right up front that describe a cult. And when I give these to you, ask yourself, is this what you're in this morning, a cult? Because this is five positions that every cult takes. And then when I say these five, ask yourself, who really, according to sociology and according to Christianity, who really is the cult? Number one, they alter, change, or abandon the Scriptures. Do we alter, change, or abandon the Scriptures? No, we don't. Do you know anybody on Staten Island that does? Yeah. Are we picking fights? No. But you're under the sound of my melodious voice this morning. God wants you to know this is not a cult. Regardless of what the world might think. Because every once in a while, I mean, truth be told, hey, I've listened to the, you know, Pat said it this morning, I watched the smoke just like everybody else watched the smoke. I thought it was going to be a different guy. I have to rearrange my thinking a little bit, Kevin. You know, Eddie, I got to rearrange my thinking. My theology just changed a little bit. I thought we were right there. We're right there, but we're not right there yet. But you want to know something? Every once in a while, some of those guys, they say something that actually sounds right. They do. That actually sounds like maybe that guy's reading his Bible. And then in the same thought, he abandons that book completely and goes with the magisterium, goes with his doctrine, goes with his counsels, goes with whoever. The number one thing about a cult is they alter, they change, or they abandon completely the Word of God. How many times since you've been saved out of your religion and you've tried to sit down with a loved one and all you've said to them, listen, whatever their name, listen, just read, will you read this? It's not going to hurt you. You know, it won't bite you. I guarantee you it won't bite you. It's not, the word's not going to jump off the page and just attack you. Just read it. But you know what they've been taught? They've been taught, number one, you don't read the Bible. You don't read the Bible. One of our folks, I forget who it was, talking in the hall one night on a Wednesday night, he just got saved not too long ago, went back to this Roman Catholic priest and talked to him about Jesus Christ. And that priest told him, listen, you can't trust the Bible. That's what the man, I said, no, don't lie to me, because I might use this from the pulpit. And I get caught in too many lies as it is. So, don't you lie to me, he said, that's what that priest told me. Now, let me ask you a question. Do we hate Roman Catholics?
No.
No. How many of you? How many of you had a Roman Catholic background? Raise your hand. Holy moly, that's 98% of our church. I love you to death. I loved you when you were lost. I was just a good unsaved Baptist. Just as lost as you were. All right? They abandoned the Scriptures. This place here, it's hanging back there now. Where the word of a king is, there is power. That picture, that line in that book. I'll go to my grave telling you, I hope I get one last breath to tell God's people in this place, read the book. Amen. Just read the book. I'm not a college graduate. Read the book, brother. Read the book. It's all you've got to do. It won't hurt you. It will change your life for the good. For the good. All right, here's another one. They preach another gospel. They preach another gospel. You're going to hear other churches around here preaching a gospel, and you're going to scratch your head saying, wait a minute, that's not the gospel that I know of. Galatians, he said, if any man preach another gospel, let him be accursed. They have another Christ. Do you remember when Simeon in Luke chapter 2 and verse 26 was seeing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ there? And he talked about the Lord's Christ. Do you know why he said the Lord's Christ? Because there were other Christs. The word means anointed. Other Christs. Do you know what they've made Mary? They've made Mary a Christ. In that line of reasoning, and I'm not teaching you anything, I'm not teaching you much this morning, be truthful. In religion, though, you can't get to God. Jesus is too big and too busy. You can't get to Him. Now, we know better than that. As I'm standing in right here now, you know where I'm at? I'm in the Holy of Holies. I just walked through the veil of His flesh and said, good morning, Father. I'm glad for the access and the invitation again. He said, it's always good to see you, Brother Pat. You say, He calls you brother? Yeah, He's my elder brother. Jesus Christ is our elder brother. See, that's called a divine relationship. But religion tells me I've got to go through somebody because Jesus is too busy and Jesus is too austere, too holy, and everybody likes to go through mama. Isn't that the truth? You never went to dad, you liar, you didn't. You always went to mom first. Dad's a type of the law. Mom's a type of the Holy Spirit. You always went to mom. I always tried to get through to dad. Always went to mom first. Tried to get her on my side. Yes. Of course, it never worked because she was tougher than dad. But here's another one. Oh, here's a good one. We're actually going to look at a few verses on this. They elevate human leaders. Nobody's above anybody in this place. The only body who's above everybody else is Jesus Christ. Okay? A couple of us hold the office of a bishop. And about 10 or 12 of us, whatever the count is now, hold the office of a deacon. That's only two offices. But in those two offices, nobody's above anybody. I'm not above you. I'm your brother. I'm your brother. Okay? I can wear a skull cap just like anybody else can wear a skull cap. You like it? Now, some of you are upset with me right now. And I haven't done this in a long time. But you know what? I think it's time that the standard gets raised up. We've had it raised up. Listen, and we're not picking fights. I'm even cautious when outsiders come into this church and take our tracts with our name on the back. I don't know if Pastor told you this. We got a call from, I don't know, Georgia or somewhere. He did. Somebody had taken tracts from another church. They had made tracts for Jews, but they put their names on the back. See, you have to understand, people don't understand New York City at all. Before you do something stupid, learn the culture. Okay? Somebody put, not from our church, another church, somebody put 90 of their tracts on the windshield of all the Jews' cars in Borough Park. Well, don't you know the Jews are going to come right behind them, tear up all the tracts? Must have been the Department of Sanitation or somebody. But that church ended up getting 90 summonses worth $70 apiece Do the math. Seven nines are $6,300. And they're not even New Yorkers. But you know what it is? I think it's time we need to sober up. And let's just raise the standard just a little bit higher. Amen. I'm not talking about doing anything. I know we've used the word ramp it up, radical. I don't personally use those words. My pastor does, and that's fine. I'm not against any of that. But, you know what? Let's just be godly. Let's be biblical. Let our lives so shine. Okay. I want you to know, though, this is not, young Christian, this is not a cult. This is about as biblical as you're going to find it on the face of planet Earth. Okay. Can I take you to Revelation chapter 19? Revelation chapter 19. They elevate human leaders. Go to Revelation chapter 19. I like these two verses. Going to take you to 19:10 and 22:8. Because I just saw something. Now, I'm an observer. I don't like picking fights. Do my best not to pick fights. And I'm getting too old to fight fights. So if you want to pick a fight, I'm not going with you. I'm just, you know, it's just, there's a better way of doing something. But I'll tell you two things that I do. I read the Bible and I observe everything around me. So when I see another religious organization who names the name of Jesus Christ, and I watch them do certain things, and I say, now wait a minute, I read somewhere in the Bible that you're not supposed to do that. You see, the bottom line to this thing, folks, is authority. Authority. Who has the authority? We know that the Word of God does. Now, somebody elevating a leader. Go to Revelation 19, verse number 10. Now, John's in heaven here, all right, and he's about ready to go into the second coming of Jesus Christ, the literal advent. But he's up in heaven and he's in the Spirit and he's writing this revelation of Jesus Christ. And in verse 7 it says, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Lamb, again, not Israel, but Lamb, that's Jesus Christ. And his wife hath made herself ready. Now that would be us, by the way, the bride. All right, because it's talking about the Lamb. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Okay, that's us. 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I, talking about John, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Somebody wanted to fall down at the feet of somebody other than Jesus Christ. And that individual said, don't you do that. Look at chapter 22. Look at chapter 22. This is the new paradise in chapter 22. The book's going to end here. Chapter 22 and verse number 8. Last message in the Word of God. Revelation 22:8, and I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. He saw this pure river, water of life, and he looked down through it, and he saw all the manners of the fruit, and it's a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Now, by the way, angels are, I won't say angels are above man, all right, because you and I are going to judge angels. But as far as who was created first, the angels were there before us. So you have John falling down at the feet of an angel, which showed me. Look what this angel says. 9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it. That's twice. That's twice John tried to bow down at the feet of either, it could have been an angel and the other one. He calls him our fellow, a brother. This he calls it an angel. That's twice John tried to do that, and both times he was told to do not do that. Get up. Get up. Saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book. Both times he's told to worship God. Worship God. Now, I'm going to close on this. Paul, back in Acts chapter 24, and I am going to read verse 14. Because they have called Paul a heretic. They have said that he had abandoned the religion that he grew up in, that he was born into. And he was following a cult. A cult not only abandons the scriptures and preaches another gospel or has another Christ and elevates human leaders, they also want to enslave their followers. I want all of you here all the time. But nobody's forcing you to be here. Nobody. If tomorrow you just decide, listen, I don't like it in First Bible Church, I'm going to find another church. I may disagree with you. I may get burdened with it. I may grieve over your choice. But nobody's going to stop you from doing it. You know why? Because we don't enslave believers. We don't enslave you here. Well, you know what we pray about? That the Word of God would find good soil. Amen. Regardless of what personality it comes from. This book. Good soil. They called Paul a heretic. Acts chapter 24. He's before Felix here. He's going to end up before another man named Festus. He's gone up to worship. He's been accused by Jewish elders. If you go back to verse number 1, and after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Paul now is preaching this gospel of grace. Paul is telling the Jews, you are not under the Mosaic law any longer. The purpose was good. The purpose was to show you the righteousness of God. But you do not have to keep the law any longer to be saved. You're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse 20, or verse number 14 in 24, he says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, which after the way that those Jews and those religious leaders call heresy. Do you know what I've come to realize? Do you know that religion is pretty? Religion is gorgeous. I said this Thursday night to my institute class. I kind of like the way the cardinals dress. You know, the orange color and the black shawl. Maybe I'm wired stupid. I don't know. But I look at it and it's like, wow. Look at the colors. Look at that Sistine Chapel. Wow. And then God brings me back down to reality and says, look at this great little old stinky warehouse. Look at that, you know, not very pretty. Do you know that Jesus wasn't pretty? Bible says he wasn't comely. He might not even have been very handsome. He hung out with carpenters and fishermen. Blue collar guys. Bet you his hands were rough. His daddy was a carpenter. Do you know what I've come to realize about really religion and true Christianity? True Christianity is never pretty. True Christianity is plain. Do you know why people don't like that Bible? Because it's plain. It's just plain. But religion is so good to look at. And I don't care what the religion is. He said, after the way which they call heresy, they call it heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Somebody obviously gave up reading the law and the prophets. Because had they been reading the law and the prophets like Paul was reading them, and had their hearts been attuned to understand what they're reading, which obviously they were not, they wouldn't have called what Paul said was heresy. But the world, I think what I'm really going to end this with is just this thought. You and I, you know what Manny, when I think about him, what he had a confidence in the Word of God. He had a steadfastness. Now, some of us in this room knew Manny and Terry pretty well. And you know what? They had problems just like everybody else. They had people, 10 years ago I think it was, they went back to the Philippines. Do you know he had good people? One of the things they said about him was he wasn't qualified. He wasn't qualified to do what he's doing. Pastor Mike got those emails, spoke with people. I don't think Brother Manny's qualified. Let me let you in on a secret. I won't even charge you for this one. Do you know that God's not looking for qualified men? He's looking for men to qualify.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I stole that from somebody, but I'll take credit for it this morning. Why not? God's not looking for qualified men. He's looking for men and women, and boys and girls, to qualify. We need to entrench ourselves in the Word of God because the onslaught of the enemy is going to keep coming stronger and stronger and stronger, and we are going to look more and more and more and more like we're heretics, that we're cultists. And the only thing that's going to keep you sane in all this is to stay in the authority. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.